Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. It's good to be with everyone today. We're so glad that you tuned in to this Watchman radio broadcast on the Omega Radio Network. And I've got some fabulous news to share with our listeners. This is really good for us. We praise God for it. We received a report from Facebook where we have our Facebook page for the Omega Radio Network. And this is a little thing they do, I believe, once a month, and it's called Insights for Your Page, and it gives you a little bit about the numbers of what's taking place. And this last week, okay, so we're talking, this was from May 10th to May 16th, all right, so a week ago, here's what the numbers were. Well, the previous week, as far as page visits were concerned, last week or the week before, were only 4 page visits. Well, this past week, there was 19, which was a 375% increase, okay? Now, on the weekly total reach, this was phenomenal. As far as the weekly total reach, we had 292 for a week people that Omega Radio went out and reached. And last week was 5,790, which was an 1,882% increase. Wow. The people engaged the week before were 33. The people engaged last week were 357. And then the total page likes, which was a 981% increase, by the way. And then the total page likes the week before was 335, and last week was 344, a 2.7% increase. So what I really like was the weekly total reach of 5,790 people compared to 292 the week before. Now, they've been going back and forth, and you have up weeks, down weeks, but we thank God for the people that are listening, the thousands that are listening to the Omega Radio Network all over the world. Because we are broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we know that our brothers and sisters in other countries around the world, like in Africa and in South America and in Europe, they too are undergoing a severe trial of affliction because the last days are not just for America, that they are being spelled out for the nations of the earth. But I think we here in America have a lot to learn spiritual warfare, whereas our brothers and sisters in the African continent, for example, they've been dealing with voodoo, witchcraft, and I mean a direct confrontation with real witches and all those types of powers that have been in operation for a very long time. They have learned an art of spiritual warfare that we here in America need to be trained up under. And the ministries that are in the United States training the Christians are so few in comparison to the demonic mountain that we are facing. People really do need to get prepared. In fact, I have some scripture here I want to get into in just a moment. But I just wanted to rejoice in the listeners out there, to the thousands of you that are tuning in, and specifically to this Watchman radio broadcast and the deliverance ministry that follows with my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. So we are rejoicing in that. We're rejoicing in living in the last days. We're enjoying the reality that even though the dark clouds are swirling and events are taking place, that there are a people being raised up in these last days who are being supernaturally baptized with an acceleration of God's ability so that we could carry out his end time purpose in these last days. Do you understand what time it is? I used to love that song by Chicago. Does anybody really know what time it is? And you know what? It is very, very late in as far as the world is concerned. For those who are born again, man, eternity is looming before us. Eternal life. We have eternal life through the eternal Spirit of God that lives in us right now. Do we understand that no matter what the condition of our lives are, I mean, whether we're in the gutter with a needle in our arms, or whether we're puking up our guts because of alcoholism, whether we're in a mess in relationship or financial, you know, poverty, whatever, do you know that wherever a person is, in prison, in jail, death row, it doesn't matter, that when they ask Jesus Christ to come into their life, it's not just to save them out of their mess they're in right now, which Jesus obviously does do, but the idea of receiving Jesus as the Savior of the world opens the heart for the entrance of the eternal Spirit of God. This is the gift of God to humanity, eternal life. And eternal life is in the eternal Spirit of God. And the book of Hebrews talks about the eternal Spirit of God. So you're not going to live in eternity in the mess that you're in, because God's going to take your mess and turn it into a message. But the reality, like the thief on the cross who acknowledged Jesus, that moment when Jesus said, "You'll be with me in paradise," he spoke spiritual words. Remember, Jesus said in John 6, "The words that I speak are spirit and they are life." And so when Jesus spoke to that thief on the cross, that was the spirit, the eternal spirit that was in him that entered right into his heart and mind. He had received it, and you know that day he was in paradise. And so it is. Wherever you are, whatever the condition of life is, if you have not yet said Jesus, you are the God, you are God's only begotten Son, you are the Messiah, you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. I open my life to you. I believe in you. You're not some fable. You're not some fairy tale. You're not some made up in imagination from my own mind or because of other people out there thinking that they created God. No, God created man. God created everything. Man obviously does not have the ability to create the massive beauty that we see all around us. Impossible. So that's just the arrogant, satanic, demonic thing going on out there. The truth of the matter is Jesus. And when you receive Jesus and his work on the cross, dying for your sins, you receive God's grace into your life. You are forgiven for all of your sins. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are placed in the family of God. And God then gives you the eternal gift, the gift of eternal life. Oh, joyful days ahead for those who are born again. Oh, joyful days again. Hallelujah. That we are only looking at a temporary moment. Even the greatest tribulation that the world has ever known that is on the way will only be for a moment. It is a temporary world that we live in. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that everything we could see, feel, and touch is temporary. I'm telling you, even these bodies are temporary. It's all temporary, but God has put the eternal on the inside of us. Remember, there is eternity for everybody in the universe, right? But the thing is, do you have eternal life or will you have eternal death? Our souls are meant to live forever, but we have to make sure that we're living forever in life, l'chaim, and not death and misery and destruction, because the soul will go on. But the gift of God, by receiving the grace of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. My goodness. And so this is a temporary moment. And don't you want to be as impactful as a Christian man or woman on this earth as you could be? Don't you want to do something for God and to live your life and say, Lord, I want to do something great for you. I want to live for you today. I want to be impactful. I don't want to just be an island unto myself, living over in La La Land, you know, just making it easy in Zion. No, Lord, I want to do something. I want to raise the dead. I want to lay my hands on some sick person today and watch them recover. I want to cast out a devil out of somebody, Lord. I want to get involved in the kingdom activity, the kingdom business. I'm not looking for chill bumps and goosebumps to make me feel good in some kind of supposed outward revival. No, I want the intrinsic power of the Holy Spirit, that eternal spirit within me, to bring empowerment and enablement to do the works that you did, Jesus. So how do we get there? Man, don't you want to see great things happen? Don't you want to please God in everything that you do? Don't you want to live a life that is pleasing to the Father, where he'll have a smile on his face, and at the end of the days, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And that is eternal joy because of the eternal Spirit of God. Now, I have a Bible study I want to get into in the Gospel of Mark, and then I've got some things we need to talk about afterward. So let's go to the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to look at chapter 9. I woke up with this morning. I read through it, prayed through it, and I think there's some wisdom here for all of us to wrap our hearts and minds around. So if you're ready, let's go to a familiar story. And please, please do not say, oh, I've heard that story before. You may have read it before, but I saw things in here I'd never seen before. And I've been reading this book for 36 years. All right. Here it begins, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. Now, where was Jesus just prior to this scene? Well, as you know, he was at the top of a mountain, and he was with his three disciples, and he was going through what we call the transfiguration. Okay. So the Lord had been in a high place with three disciples, and he's now coming down, and he's getting a view of a sign when he's coming down, and all the people are now running to him, and they were greatly amazed when they saw him. You can imagine, Jesus, it's Jesus. And they're running to him. They saluted him, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? What question ye with them? What are you asking these people? What's going on here? And so the story goes on in verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit. Okay. And so that, let's look at it. What is a dumb spirit? Well, the word dumb there is alalos. It's almost like la-la, right? But this is alalos. And the dumb spirit is something that is basically speechless, wanting or lacking the faculty of speech. In other words, it could not talk. It was also connected to a mute, deaf and mute spirit. Okay, and we go a little bit deeper into the word laleo, and it simply means to not be able to talk with words, not able to utter words, not able to speak. And so the father was saying of his son that he had a dumb spirit. In other words, he was not able to talk. He could not communicate. Do you know how frustrating that would be? I talk to people all the time that seem not to be able to communicate what's going on in them. Do they have a dumb spirit? I don't know. We're going to look at this, okay? But in the literal sense, this young boy could not speak. I mean, it was probably one of those areas where the tongue was just really tied up, okay? So in verse 17 again, this father brought to Jesus the son, and he explains it in verse 18. And wheresoever he takes him, the spirit, this dumb spirit, wheresoever he takes him, he tears him, and he foams and gnashes with his teeth and pines away. All right, so what is the first thing this spirit does? Well, it tears him. And that word tear is regnumi, regnumi. And listen to this. It literally means to break or to wreck or to crack or to sunder, separation of the parts. It literally talks about a shattering to minute fragments. Wow. This spirit that was in this little boy was literally fragmenting his mind. He was shattering into minute fragments this soul, this mind, so that there was no soundness to it. And that's what this spirit was doing in this little boy. He was bursting. He was breaking asunder the mind. Okay? It was a demon that was also, according to the definition, causing convulsions in a man. You know, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are having a hard time thinking, especially in this age of chemtrails and GMO modified foods and all the other counterculture stuff to the kingdom of God that is happening. People are having a hard time keeping their thoughts in order. Do you know what I'm saying? And we have to beware of the fact that behind the scenes, there are demonic spirits that are sending signals through the airwaves that are meant to disrupt the mental ability of people to think clearly. You know what I'm talking about. We see it through the airwaves and television, on radio, the internet. There are all kinds of signals that are going through the atmosphere, and much of the messages that are being transmitted are not messages of the kingdom of God. And so people are getting fragmented, but there's a demonic spirit that is operating with whispers and suggestions and negativity towards individuals, trying to break down their mental protection, if you will. There's an invasion. There's a hacking going on. And once the demonic takes control in that area of one's soul or mind, it's able to literally burst it, break it, so that it becomes a confused mind, a tormented mind, voices in the head. Ladies and gentlemen, we're hearing about these cases everywhere. But not only does this demonic spirit cause this young man to tear, to fragment, to burst a bond, to be scattered into every direction, if you will, but it also says, and he foams, he foameth. He afrizo is the Greek word, the afrizo. And what does it mean? To froth at the mouth in epilepsy, literal foam. So epilepsy is a medical diagnosis. It's an analysis of someone's behavior, and they say, oh, that person's got epilepsy. But what's causing the epilepsy? Well, what's causing the schizophrenia? What is causing the and this word, by the way, afrizo, it gets into this idea of phrenia. We'll go into that in just a moment. But prior, we were just talking about the fragmented soul, the mind that is shattered into a million different pieces, and it's not able to compute or put ideas together properly, so there's no proper communication coming out of the mouth because the mind is so fragmented. Have you ever talked to somebody where their soul is so fragmented they make no sense? They just are not able to communicate. That's a demonic issue that's causing that mental problem, but it's also this epileptic thing that we call today so nicely, a medical problem. It's a demonic problem, okay? It is a demonic problem. And that word, by the way, goes into a deeper Greek, aphros, and all it means is to froth, or i.e. slaver. Wow. In other words, this is just foam pouring out of the mouth. So this is the Father crying out to Jesus, telling him that this demon was tearing him. This demon was foaming and gnashing with his teeth. Now, what does the word gnashing mean? That's the Greek word trizo. And the word gnash here, it's kind of interesting. It means to creak or squeak. By analogy, to grate the teeth in frenzy. Wow. That means to make a shrill cry. And again, I mean, you could imagine the demonic thing that's going on. That you can't talk. You can't think. This thing is totally taken over. It's only making noises. But this demon is not through with this young man. Then the Father says, not only does he tear him, not only does he foam, not only does he gnash with his teeth, but he also pines away. And that word pineth is kastrino. Okay, so kastrino. And that word in the Greek literally means to desiccate, by implication, to shrivel, dry up, wither. And so you could see this spirit pining away, and it's gnashing, and it's groaning within itself. It's a very demonic thing, obviously. And the deeper Greek word there is seros, and it's with a K at the beginning. It's seros, and it literally means to dry, just, you know, take the life out of someone or something. And it also is through the idea of scorching, dry land, withered, arid. So this spirit was literally taking the life out of this young man. So this spirit was now causing one to be torn, to foam, to gnash with his teeth, to pine away. And then the man says to Jesus, I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answered in verse 19 and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And, you know, we don't want to hear Jesus in our generation say to us that we're faithless because we can't cast out a demon. Now, if you walked up on a scene, or I walked up on a scene, and you saw and heard the sounds coming out of that boy, that father's son, how many of you would just get the hair on your neck standing up and probably want to go in the other direction? You know, like the Pharisees that walked on the other side of the street, but the Good Samaritan found the man beaten and wounded. A lot of people don't want to deal with this kind of nasty reality, you know, in this deep stuff because it's scary. Now, the disciples are there trying to cast the thing out, and it's not budging. It's not budging. So the man is, you know, and you can imagine there were 9 of those disciples around that little boy. The other 3 were up on the mountain with Jesus. And you can imagine they're all standing around. I bind you. I rebuke you. I command you by the authority of, you know, whatever Jesus to come out, and nothing's happening. There's a problem here. Now, Jesus had been training those 9. And so it's kind of a mystery for a moment. And so Jesus says, bring him unto me. Verse 20 goes on. They brought him unto Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, immediately or straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. Ah, he tore him. That word tear is a little bit different. It means to convulse. It means the idea of spasmodic contraction, to mangle. Wow. With epilepsy, to convulse with epilepsy. So you could see the epileptic. I mean, this spirit is shaking just at the very view of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, oh, my. But not only that, he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And that wallowed is kuleo. And it literally means to the idea of circulatory, rolling about in a circle. I mean, this boy's body is convulsing. Spasmodic, epileptic, foaming out of his mouth. This spirit is there. And then what does Jesus say? This is amazing. In verse 21, he asked his father. So Jesus is watching this manifestation. I mean, this spirit is there. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him. And he said, of a child. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got news to you. A lot of demonic activity that people are dealing with later on in life actually became reality when they were children. It is as though the devil knows that the most vulnerable time in a person's life to enter in is in childhood. And if they're not covered, if they're not protected, if they're not secured, if there's sin in their family, if there's generational sin of mom or dad or grandma, or grandpa that's never been dealt with, the children are the next target. They are going to become the dwelling place of these demons. And so Jesus gets the download from this father that this spirit came into his son when he was just a little boy. In Mark 9:22, it says, and oftentimes, this is the father speaking to Jesus. He's telling him what happened. He says, oftentimes it, the demon, has cast him, my son, into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. So for how long, how many years was this father watching this destruction on his, listen now, on his son? And yet the religion of Judaism was everywhere, but the boy never got delivered. We know about the man in the wilderness that was cutting himself with chains on the island of the Gadarenes. There was the religion of Judaism, but he wasn't getting delivered and set free. This boy had had this problem since he was a little boy. He wasn't getting delivered by the religion of Judaism. And now he cries out in the latter part of verse 22, but, this is the father to Jesus, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You notice the us and not just the son. This thing that was going on with the son was having an impact on the father and the rest of the family, maybe even the community. And so he's crying out in desperation. I brought this, my boy, to your disciples. They couldn't cast this thing out. And you're like the last hope. And if you could do anything. And I love Jesus's answer in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe. Now, Jesus is putting this back into his court. He's saying, if there's anything you could do, Jesus. And Jesus is saying, well, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So he's putting it in his court. Do you believe, Father? Do you believe for your son? Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What desperation is in this father's voice, what desperation with tears in his eyes as he's crying out, I believe, but it's been so long. Help my unbelief. I've heard people say it can be done. I've watched it for so long. It's been established in my mind that this is the way it is. But if you could do something, I've heard about you, Jesus. If you could do something, your disciples couldn't do it, but if you could do something, well, I do believe that you may be able to, but help my unbelief. He was caught. He was caught. You got to love this. In verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Now, Jesus is speaking with authority. He's now come from the place of showing up and the demon reacting, wallowing, having this power. Now Jesus is moving. And what does he do? He rebuked that foul spirit. And what does that word rebuke mean? Well, the Greek word is epitemaio, all right? And that word actually means to tax upon, to censure, or admonish by implication to forbid. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was forbidding. He was exercising his authority and he was censuring that demon, admonishing it and forbidding it to have any further place in this little boy's life. So he rebuked the foul spirit. Now, why is it a foul spirit again? This deaf spirit, this dumb spirit. Why is it a foul spirit? Well, that word foul is akathartos. Akathartos. And it means not clean. Literally, it is impure. Morally lewd. You wonder if some immoral act was not committed against this young man when he was a little boy. You know, we live in an age today where little boys and little girls are being sold to the market for pedophiles. We know that there has been a terrific amount of pedophilia going on in our world and all over the world. Sex trafficking, sex trade, little girls being raped and entered into by numbers of men every day for sexual intercourse, for money. Little girls and little boys. Well, I believe that this foul, unclean, morally or lewd, okay, this impure spirit may have entered this little boy because of some act of immoral lewdness, sexual impurity that brought the demon in. Maybe he was raped by an uncle. Maybe he was abused or molested by some neighbor. We know that happens everywhere, all over the world. I believe there's people all over this planet, when they were children, had some kind of sexual problem happen to them that they still are broken and walking in. And I believe that's the reality. So Jesus is examining this. He's now rebuking that foul spirit, and he called it a dumb and deaf spirit. That was the result. This boy couldn't talk. This boy could not communicate anything that had been done to him, if anything. He could not hear, so he could not respond. So it's a deaf and dumb spirit. And Jesus said what? I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. So here's the authority of God. And that's it. This is a done deal. And how did the spirit respond in verse 26? And the spirit cried and rent him sore. Well, you could imagine the crazo. And that's what the word cried means, is crazo. And it means to croak. Can you believe that? Literally to croak as a raven or scream, to shriek. So what's happening here? That's a real demon really getting cast out of its house that it had been in for many years. And it says that he rent him. In other words, he came out of him, but he did it sore. He rent him sore. He rent him sore. And again, that word rent is to convulse, but he rent him sore. Now, the word, we may as well go for it, right? What does it mean to rent him sore? The word sore in the Greek is polus. And what that means is it was in a very demonstrative way. It means that he rent him sore, just large, many, much. He just absolutely, abundantly came out of this little boy. So there was a real deliverance here. Now watch, this is the thing that caught my attention in all of this that we're talking about today. When that spirit came out, it says this in verse 26, the spirit cried, rent him sore, and came out of him. It came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. The picture that comes to mind is that this little boy, from the moment he was taken over by this demonic presence that nobody knew what to do about, and how did it enter in? It appears because Jesus identified it as a lewd, immoral, unclean, and impure spirit. It was some sexual act, something, either in generations or to himself. But in either case, it gives the appearance that that spirit that took that little boy over had been dominating, directing this boy's entire life. From that time he took it over, the boy had no life of his own. He was dead inside. He never made a decision because his mind was fragmented. He never communicated because his voice, his speech, his ability to communicate was gone. He could not hear anything of reality All he heard was the torment of demons. This was a horrible case of demonic possession. And then Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. And I love verse 27, but Jesus. Hallelujah. But Jesus. Nothing is impossible for our God. No case is too impossible for him. But here's the problem. In verse 28, when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Lord, there were nine of us. We were exercising the authority you told us about. And we're there. We're binding, rebuking, casting, and nothing happened. Why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, where was Jesus just prior to this event? Do you remember? Just prior to this event, he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. The cloud and glory of God covered the mountain. Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus. The Father spoke, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Jesus was in a super empowered condition on that mountaintop. They weren't up there camping, having hot dogs and hamburgers. Those three disciples that walked up to that mountain and went through this, we don't know how long they were up there. But it was a high mountain. It took time to go up and it took time to come down. And who knows how long that conversation with Moses and Elijah was. But there was a spiritual kingdom impact going on. And all those three men that were with Jesus and Jesus himself had transfigured before them. He outrayed the glory that was in him. It was like a supernatural download because Jesus also had to continue on to the cross, and there was conversation about his journey, and I believe he was being continually empowered by God in the Spirit. So he was so infused with power that when he came down from that mountain and encountered this scene, he had been in prayer, he had been in communion with the Father and with Moses and Elijah, and he had been fasting. They weren't up there eating anything. And ladies and gentlemen, he came down and kaboom, he nailed the demonic. Now, the nine disciples, they were fighting it out, but they were not inwardly strengthened by the Spirit of God to the degree that they could do the same work. Now, could they do the same work? Yes. But the problem was, they had not spent time in the presence of God getting their inner spirit strong. I'm going to tell you right now, for the rest of this day, when you go about your business, you need to start praying in tongues. You need to start praying and prophesying and drawing near to God. You need to get your spirit strong. You need to get very close to Jesus because you're going to encounter some things down the road. And if you're not ready, you're going to be exasperated because you're going to find an inability. Well, why didn't it happen? But I'm telling you, if you get prayed up and you stay prayed up and you stay in the Spirit and you stay in fasting, you're going to be empowered to do things that people one day are going to say, thank God. And you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. And you're going to give him all the glory. All right. That was my Bible study this morning. I hope it helps somebody out there because we got to get ready for what's coming down the pike. I want to read to you a report. And we could open the lines up in a moment after reading this report and talk about some things if you have some questions, thoughts, or comments. But I want to share this. This is very, very important. Came out today that an EMP commission, and you know EMP stands for electromagnetic pulse, and I'm going to beg you again, please do not say in your heart, oh, I've heard about EMP. They've talked about EMP. You know, I'm downloaded with. Please don't say that. Take heed to what I'm about to share with you. It says here, the EMP Commission, Electromagnetic Pulse Commission, warns of year-long blackout and a massive death toll. All right, this article just came out, May 18th. A federal EMP Commission report warns that even the smallest EMP attack on our grid system would down it for about a year, if not longer. A year-long blackout would certainly be coupled with a massive death toll that would devastate entire populations. The so-called EMP Commission report said that this threat is very real, jeopardizes, quote, modern civilization, and would set back living conditions to those last seen in the 1800s. Again, I go back about 2 years when the Lord put into my spirit to prepare the ark as though you're going back to the 1800s. I remember the conversation well, that he said, you've got to learn to live not with solar panels or, you know, generators, because those things did not exist in the 1800s, but you need to get ready and learn how to live off the land like the early pioneers did and the settlers did before there was any kind of electricity, before there was any kind of, you know, anything directing things. And you just, it's raw. And the Lord said, prepare that ark for that. Now I'm reading it again, and I believe we need to take heed. As a result of the chaos, millions would likely die, according to the report titled, and I quote, Assessing the Threat from Electromagnetic Pulse, from the recently reestablished Commission to Assess the Threat to the United States from Electromagnetic Pulse Attack. So the United States and modern civilization more generally faces a present and continuing existential threat from naturally occurring and man-made electromagnetic pulse, assault, and related attacks on military and critical national infrastructures. Now, folks, don't you think right now where everything in the atmosphere seems to be peace and safety, it's all good, wow, life is going on, woohoo, that this really would be kind of the moment to have life change so dramatically within our nation and other nations because the grid has been attacked all of a sudden? Well, a nationwide blackout of the electrical power grid and grid-dependent critical infrastructures, communications, transportation, sanitation, food and water supply could plausibly last a year or longer, says the commission. Many of the systems designed to provide renewable, standalone power in case of an emergency, such as generators, uninterruptible power supplies, and renewable energy grid components, are also vulnerable to EMP attacks, said the 27-page report. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't train ourselves to go back and live off the land with wood and with fire and with buckets to bring the water, I'm telling you, I really believe this is, again, a confirmation of what God is saying. Here's what they said. A long-term outage owing to EMP could disable most critical supply chains, leaving the U.S. population living in conditions similar to centuries past prior to the event of electric power, said the July 2017 report provided secrets. It's a lot. It's a report. It's here. It's coming out again, though. They're releasing it. And then this, in the 1800s, the U.S. population was less than 60 million. And those people had many skills and assets necessary for survival without today's infrastructure. An extended blackout today could result in the death of a large fraction of the American people through the effects of societal collapse, disease, and starvation, added the executive summary. This is what they're saying. And I was talking to you the other day with Daniel Seckham on Wednesday about the Ukrainian Revolution, how the Ukrainians were told by posters, eating your children is a real spiritual experience because they starved them to death. I'm telling you, starvation is a real deal. Disease is a real deal. Societal collapse is a real deal. And this is the judgment upon the great whore who has turned her back on the living God. And let me tell you, if you read Revelation 18, you're going to see it in living color. Now, this report continues on. Three reports on the issue of an EMP attack have been declassified by the Pentagon, and seven more are awaiting clearance. Among those declassified documents was a report from Peter Vincent Pry, who served on a prior EMP commission and is executive director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security, spelling out the human toll of an EMP attack on the electric grid. He also advises the current commission In Life Without Electricity, he said the results would be horrific for most, as the vast majority of Americans have virtually no survival skills. He believes the whole year would look something like this, and here's his scenario. Number one, social disorder. Looting requires a dusk-to-dawn curfew for those not wanting to risk their lives. People become refugees as they flee powerless homes. The workforce becomes differently employed at scavenging for the basics, including water, food, and shelter. He said, number two, communications. There's no TV, radio, or phone service. Transportation, number three, gas pumps will be inoperable. Failure of signal lights and street lights would impede traffic, and all traffic would cease after dark, but not many would even have a functioning vehicle anyway. No mass transit, metro service, and all airlines will be stopped. He said, water and food. There will be no running water. Stoves and refrigerators will be inoperable. People will have to melt snow, boil water, and cook over open fires. Local food supplies will be exhausted. Most stores will close due to the blackout. He said, energy, oil and natural gas flows will stop. Emergency medical. Hospitals will have to operate in the dark. Patients on dialysis and other life support will be threatened. Medications administered and babies will be born by flashlight. Death and injury, casualties from exposure, carbon dioxide poisoning, and house fires will increase. All of these should be kept in mind when prepping for worst case scenario. Well, that's the report, ladies and gentlemen, and I have to ask you. Right now, we have a society that is being manipulated and controlled by propaganda, by mind control. They have the ability to stir things up and settle things down. There's a great effort that has been employed against the minds of the masses all over the world and in our country through all of the television and commercials and songs and music. They just have a way through the news media to bring the opioid, whatever it is, of peace and safety. Stay calm. There's no panic. Keep everything at a certain degree. But you know, when this thing goes off, that sedated society, the sedated society is going to awake. They're going to wake up like they did in Katrina. And when they awake, they're going to realize, wow, I don't have any more food in my fridge, or I don't have any more water running. I can't flush my toilet, and so-and-so just went to the bathroom before I did. And I can't wash my hands, and I can't turn on my stove, and I can't turn on the lights at night, and I don't have any candles, and the baby's crying, and people are afraid, and I'm hungry. And well, what happened in Katrina, folks? And I remember the prophetic word of God is that America, because of its blasphemous sin against God and not taking heed to the judgments, that America will be likened unto Katrina times 1,000, which means 1,000 cities in this nation will be like Katrina was. It's coming. And the EMP will do it. Are you ready? Oh, I've heard that before and nothing's ever happened. I wouldn't think that way if I was you, if I were you. I wouldn't think that way. But anyways, you've been hearing my conversation for the last 48 minutes. I'd like to open the telephone lines up from casting out demons to preparing for electromagnetic pulses on this Friday. If you have any questions or comments about what you're hearing today, the number to call is 818-369-0326, and I'll be waiting for your call. All you have to do is press 1 on the dial pad. Again, the number is 818-369-0326. I could hear people saying, oh man, I was just wanting to go out today, and or this weekend I had plans for a barbecue and I wanted to just have fun and, you know, a nice weekend. And well, you know what? You should barbecue, because that's the way you're going to be eating your food for a year if there's an electromagnetic pulse. Get used to it. I'm just joking. Anyways, 818-369-0326. We have our first call coming in from area code 413. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. I was reminded, this is a true story. I was out in Hawaii on a job assignment, and the dock workers out there went on strike. There was a mass hit on Walmart, and when we walked through, my mouth was just dropped because it was just milk gone, water gone, the essentials gone. And there is a heart cry to prepare. So, you know, don't ignore the warnings of those that are compelled by the Spirit of God to warn. Don't ignore it. Continuing to warn.
Yeah, you know what's
interesting? It is coming.
Yeah, it is coming. And I like your conversation. It reminded me of something. For years now, God had put into my heart to say something like, are you in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now? Because you were in Hawaii. Now, can you imagine that condition that you walked through in Hawaii along with a blowing volcano? I mean, And there you are. And now can you imagine no airplanes getting out or off the island?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, right. What do you do when there's lava pouring down everywhere? Fissures are opening. The food supply is gone. No airplanes to get out of the way. Man, you better be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. Too many people are procrastinating to do what God has already put in their heart to do, and they're kind of just staying as long as they can, like lingering Lot, when God has told you, you've got to get around a community of believers that are like-minded. You have got to be inconvenienced for a moment to resettle your life in a place that you'll be able to ride out the days ahead. And I fear that there's too many people that are just not, you know, willing to move, like Lot and his wife. They just don't want to be inconvenienced, and yet the call of God is going out over and over and over again. People kind of believe it. They're waiting. But, man, don't get caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, do you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it was just reminding me of the dream that I had that this country, America, is going to be laid waste. It is going to look like a third world country, and it is going to be unrecognizable. So, you know, the warnings go out, so keep warning. And the heart cry is that people will wake up and prepare with what time is left and with what resources they have. And it's going to be imperative that people that are skilled, I believe they're going to be used mightily in these end time days, but it's critical to be among like-minded believers. That's going to be first and foremost critical.
Amen. Amen to that.
Thank you.
That is critical. You got it. Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. That is critical to be around the people that have the mind of Christ, that have proven that through the minor trials in life, they are able to do the right thing and stay close to Jesus rather than letting that demonic invasion take over their mind, fragment them so that they can't think straight, and all of a sudden they're doing crazy things. You know, this is just an amazing moment. You're awfully quiet out there, folks. Did we shake you up a little bit? Come on, the number to call, 818-369-0326. We're not just trying to shake you up. We're here shouting out from the wall. Let's take our call coming in from our dear friends in South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you, Ken and Kathy. How are you today?
Good. I just wanted to say something about the preparation deal. Well, for years now, we've been hearing through the grapevine that a lot of the people that are political people, movie stars and all that, they're buying up ranches out here like you can't believe. They don't live there right now, but they are making sure if they can get away from some of these big cities, they're going to get out. And also, whatever preparations, you better make them. Boy, this was good in yesterday. Man, that was a lot to digest. I just want to say thank you for broadcasting.
Oh, God bless your heart. But, you know, you bring up an excellent point. You know, these movie stars are going to go out to the highest mountain, buy an island. They're going to put all kinds of, you know, bomb shelters in there. They're going to listen. God's method of survival is never an individual. It is always community. And community living in the body of Christ has been ridiculed and mocked by the world because of certain failures in times past. But you think about the days of Noah. That was community. There was only eight people. But hey, eight people was better than just one or two. And I believe that God is advocating communities. And what I think people should do, their churches should rally around. Everybody should put up what they can to buy land that has water, number of different water supplies, like a Persian well or springs or rivers or creeks or something, that they could buy the land. It's rich, fertile soil where they could plant gardens. It's very wooded, and they could build shelters, and they could learn to live like the settlers. Why not? What's the big deal? I really think this needs to be done. If we were to take all of our resources, pool them together, and buy so much land and spread it out where people can have their privacy and live independently, but at a moment could come together at the rallying point and work together and build together. That's how communities grew in the cowboy days or in the pilgrim days. They would find areas, they would work together, and they would grow up a town, and it would become something. Did you know the movie Defiance, even in World War II, when they fled to the forest to escape the Nazi regime, this is a true story, they went into the forest, and for years people were going out escaping the Nazi persecution. They literally built hospitals in there. They built schools. They literally built a community in the forest that took care of people and saved them from the Nazi Holocaust. So, you know, I really believe that this could be an adventurous, wonderful time of people coming together that pray in the Holy Spirit, that have the mind of Christ, that pool their resources, get something dynamic and wonderful being led by the Holy Spirit, and preparing it and prepping it out for the days ahead.
Yeah, that is the truth. And we know people that we're going out and check this place out now because we want to see if these are Christians that are doing this or what. But out in South Dakota, it used to be where the missiles were. They were underground, and they are revamping them and remodeling them, and they're leaving big cities, and they're going out there, and it's like a big community. And then also, we heard years ago that we were in a meeting near Chicago, and one of the speakers was McElvaney, and the next one up was going to be Dimitri and Duterman, and the one that came to warn America about what was going to happen. And so anyway, this other gentleman, he said, anybody that has, you know, skills like you just brought out, people, you know, they've been knowledgeable in medical or whatever their skills are, and you need to, you know, those resources are going to be very necessary in the days ahead. So I think this is the timetable, and we probably only got a short time left to get this together.
Amen, amen. But, you know, I remember Don McElvaney, and I remember the McElvaney Report many, many years ago, talking 20-something years ago. And these were all the forerunning, pioneering voices shouting to us about where we are right now. I mean, just consider that we were going to have a summit with Kim Jong-un, and you know China has his ear. There's no doubt about that. Here's the guy that threatens the world with electromagnetic pulse, and now they're backing out of the deal, then they're getting into the deal, and it's, you know, all this crazy conversation going on, but the peace scenario is a really bad deal right now. And, you know, I really think it would be a wonderful thing if people would really rally together and start building communities off the grid like the 1800s. Would it be an inconvenience? Yes. But let me ask you this. Why do so many people want to stay by the city? Why do so many people want to stay by the rural areas? Because they're dependent upon them. They don't know how to live without them. So think about this EMP report, how millions and millions of people will no longer have the resources from the cities and resources from, you know, these areas that they're so familiar with. How are people going to survive? It's time to put skills together, prayer warriors together, get communities growing, and get them far away as you possibly can, but be in the right place. Prayerfully pray and seek the face of God. For me in my house, I know where we're supposed to be. We're exactly where we're supposed to be right now. But I also know the Lord wants to move us a lot closer into a particular region. And so I'm thinking the day is coming that we're all going to have to pull our resources, take what we have, and go closer to where God originally intended in this stepping stone process, and get ourselves ready to go. And then, Kathy, I love what you said about the ministry. We're going to travel as much as we can, as long as we can, waking people up and preparing them, and not only going to their churches and preaching the Bible, but telling them to gather together and to do something together, like plant gardens, dig wells, get around water. I love that idea.
Yes, we also heard a gentleman when we lived in Minneapolis, and he was a prophetic preacher, really, and he just came into the city. And now we're talking back 35 years ago, and he said the day will come when if you have a trees, and it'll be better, you'll be better off than an air conditioner because there'll be nothing to run your electricity. So trees cool the air.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Kathy, thank you for the call. I've run out of time. Patricia Joy is up next. She is biting at the bit like a racehorse in the stall. And so I've got to get running here. And I know it's going to be a great message. God bless everybody that was listening into today's broadcast. We're going to go to a quick little break. One of my favorite songs. Listen to this. What a message by Keith Green. Up next, Patricia Joy Xavier with Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights.
People sinking down. Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Oh, can't you see it's such sin?
Hello, hello, hello. What passion for Christ in the music. Yes, he's with the Lord. He's with many that has gone before us. And I just want to give thanks to the program before me by Pastor Vincent Xavier. He went into depth on deliverance. It was a wonderful, wonderful ministry of teaching. And all that we have learned in the process, may it stay within our hearts. May it not escape and go into a different direction. But I give thanks to the Lord for his wonderful, wonderful kindness toward us to help us to understand the things of God in a deeper way, in a deeper manner that he is calling us to right now. And I dare say, tell you people that we are at that crossroad. We're coming and entering into the greatest times the church has ever known, because we're beginning to understand mysteries. Mysteries are being unveiled, and we're beginning to see the depths of God's heart in how ministry should have worked within the church body for the last 2,000 years. But it takes that time, for the warfare is intense. Satan comes as an angel of light and brings confusion to the body of Christ as to what is true, what isn't true, what is right in Scripture, what isn't right in Scripture, what is faithful, what is not faithful. It becomes a real work of the enemy of great deception. And not only that, but the drama of what is coming on the earth right now. War, rumors of war, agreements, broken agreements, and catastrophes. Catastrophes are everywhere right now, almost on a daily basis. If you read the news that goes all over the world, there is trauma like we have never seen. Well, I have never seen, let's put it that way, in my lifetime. And I just picked up on something else. I'll tell you, we are there, folks. Hawaii residents are warned more eruptions are coming as they struggle to cope with the 30,000-foot high ash cloud that spewed from Kailua when the volcano finally blew from its summit. Do you realize what we're talking about here? Do you understand the depths of destruction that is happening? It's not only happening under the sea in an earthquake form as it erupts, but the cloud that spewed all of this ash and all of this high, how could I put it? The ash is contaminated. There is a work being done that we have to take notice of. And it isn't stopping. It's continuing. These eruptions, these volcanic eruptions, are going on in multitudes of places. And dozens of craters are opening up, spewing out lava, spewing out fire and heat. It's like coming out of the serpent's mouth. You know, when they run into the wilderness, it pours out of the mouth of Satan. It spews out of the mouth of Satan. This is what it's like. And it goes after the people of God, but it won't be able to touch them. About 2,000 people have been evacuated from the area as lava destroyed at least 26 homes. But that is only the beginning of the scientific predictions from 8 days ago. Of powerful steam driven explosions at Hawaii's Kailua volcano and have come true, as they say eruptions are likely to continue. Well, my husband had a vision of that, and I would rather he tell you about it than myself. If you've been listening to the broadcast, he has, but maybe it's worth repeating. I think perhaps it is. But, you know, along with that, we have got AI, artificial intelligence working, and that is bringing up certain things that we have had prophetic utterances about in Revelation 13. Would you have a mark of the beast microchip implanted under your skin? Well, guess what? 3,000 Swedish people have Big Brother electronic tags embedded into their hands, risk their personal data being used against them. This is happening right now as I speak. The implants let them pay for shopping, enter buildings, and book train tickets. Several companies in Sweden offer their service to their employees for free. Why? A scientist has warned that those using the service are at risk of data breaching. Now, I know when you use your card, you have a microchip on that too when you go to purchase things, and that became something of a concern. But at least we can tear that card up and toss it into your body. Your body reacts to those things in many different ways. And don't forget, in every cell, there is memory. We need to get into a deeper understanding about these chips, because it says that the mark of the beast would do exactly that. It would be the beast system. And we would be marked by it, and we couldn't buy or sell without it. It traces every move you make, every breath you take. It's here now. It's not in the future. And India is the nation of India has almost filtrated the full nation with the same chip. How close is that to the fulfillment of Scripture, to the coming of the Lord? How then shall we be delivered? And delivered in such a manner and way that we become the light to this world. It's in such darkness. But it's been already prophesied to happen. And you know what? We're not surprised, are we? Unless we are. You know, sometimes you read prophecy and you're not sure you believe it's going to happen or in your lifetime it's going to happen. But we are in that generation. And we're going to see the fulfillment of all things. And Jesus Christ is returning. And he's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. How then shall she be without spot or wrinkle? And meaning that there is not anything of darkness within her. And we are now coming to a place where we are fighting against the spirits of darkness as a Christian body. And we have in the past for the last 2,000 years, but now it's an accumulation of every work of the enemy from the very foundation beginning of this world. We're there. What does it say? What does it mean? We're heading toward the end of it. But it isn't a bad thing, because we are heading toward the end of bad, bad darkness instigated by the works of Satan from the fall of Eden to this very day, a fall out of the Garden of Eden, Mr. and Mrs. Adam, Adam and Eve, and their ancestors. And here we are. Here we are today. This generational bloodline curse up to this very day has not totally ended, except for a very few people. And they are God's remnant. They are his elect, Jew and Gentile alike, that comes to the truth and the knowledge of the truth of who the Messiah is, so that they can receive the forgiveness that each and every one of us have needed from the last 6,000 going into the 7,000 millennium. Can you believe that? We're coming to that time where it's going to be. Now, Jesus Christ said it is finished on the cross. What did he mean that it was finished? Because we've been going on for the last 2,000 years. What he meant is Satan was put to judgment when he acted illegally. Illegally. You see, legalities are in the courtrooms of heaven. That's where legal judgment starts. It isn't just a flippin', oh, spiritual, angelic individuals flying all over the place and whoopee-doo. It is where actual law began. But the greatest, most magnificent law and judgment. And it is now accumulating into a bonfire of deliverance, in which, by the way, there has been a prophecy regarding our ministry that we would be as bonfire of deliverance for people in bondage. So Satan was put to judgment when he acted illegally against Christ at the cross. But our part in the judgment is to execute the judgment as instructed. And as Pastor Vincent spoke, we have to be cleansed, ready to do such a work. And if it takes fasting before you go to deliver someone, that's exactly what you do. You fast. You listen to the Spirit of God. You're led by the Holy Spirit and directed by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Spirit of Jesus Christ when he walked the face of the earth, that was in him of the Holy Spirit, to cast out devils and set the captives free. So we now are ready to do the work of God as was 2,000 years ago. And we now are ready as a people with the power of the Holy Spirit of God to do that which he did if you say, yes, I desire this, it'll be the greatest work. And I am noticing more and more as I listen to other programs, Christian programs, that they are beginning for the first time. And I have been in ministry for over 40 years. And I am hearing for the first time in all the books that I have read before I ever became a Christian about deliverance. They're beginning to hear and understand the voice of God in this. And they haven't put it away. You see, the problem with us being set back was the work of Satan to bring division within the church of whether or not these gifts of casting out devils or even devils' ability to be in a Christian was true. They said, no, Christians can't have any kind of demonic presence because they have the Holy Spirit. And also they said that there weren't devils. That was to be cast out. That was for 2,000 years ago, only the work of the disciples and the apostles, and no longer for the church. What a laughable thing when it's in Scripture. Do we cut out everything at our convenience, or was the devil at work in great deception in the church at work through the devil? I think so. But now the eyes are being opened for those whose eyes shall be open, who will hear the call, who will understand that believers shall cast out devils, Mark 16:16-17. And we are to pull down strongholds. And what are these strongholds? It was explained, and Jesus did the explanation, that his ability to cast out devils in these words, here's how he said it. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. The pulling down of strongholds is the strong man. He has had his position in either your life or your forefathers, all the way down and back to Adam. And so into iniquity, it has been a problem. The word iniquity means a continuous sin from generation to generation placed in the heart of mankind because of our first parent, Adam and Eve. It's in the blood. It's in the DNA. Bloodline curses from generation to generation to generation. But something happened 2,000 years ago. Christ came to break the curse, and he did. But Satan was so clever that the wisdom of what took place, though there was a general idea of salvation, but he took out of the minds of ministers and pastors and people within churches that this was not a possibility for these days. The strong man no longer is in operation if you have the Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to talk about that again. We have in the past, but we're going to get into it some more. But he said, Jesus, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. So what is that? What does that mean? It means that when we, by the work of the Holy Spirit, the ability that we have been given to cast out devils, we then, by the finger of God, cast out devils because of our faith in Jesus Christ, and Christ is within us, then no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon us. And the proof is casting out devils. Hallelujah. Because you can't do it without the kingdom within you. Thy kingdom come on earth as it was in heaven. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within. if you have received the truth. In this scripture, the word finger, translated from the Greek, means power. Power of God. The power of God. When you cast out devils, it will not be accomplished by your power, your effort, your belief within yourself, but in fact, it will be brought forth from the power of God's kingdom. Does the kingdom of God live within you? It cannot and will not unless Jesus Christ has been received as your salvation, meaning that you have been forgiven of every sin you have ever committed by his shed blood. Because it was pure, it was perfect, and it was the work of God. And because when you believed, you received the Holy Spirit. But you can't really receive the Holy Spirit unless the kingdom of God is within you, because the Holy Spirit is the kingdom of God operating within your life. But it has to be the true Holy Spirit. It can't be a counterfeit. It can't be an angel of light, which there are multitudes of in rampage on this earth right now. It has to be the true Holy Spirit. And that perfect work can only be done if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And he said unto the apostles, and he said unto us today, as it was written, as he resurrected from the dead, he said, I send the Holy Spirit unto you. The Holy Spirit that worked in his perfect life, because he had no sin. And because you have no sin, if you have confessed your sin, if you have been cleansed from your sin, because of that, you have the Holy Spirit residing in you, if you have asked for the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life. Meaning that when sin comes to beckon at your door, you do not submit to it. You turn from it. And you continue in your clean and perfect work. Clean because you didn't allow that sin to enter in again. The one that you were so familiar with, a familiar spirit. Or you did sin. And you did come subject to it. Perhaps you let fear back in. Perhaps you let anxiety take its position in you again, and stress. Perhaps you lied and didn't admit it, and it's filtering your conscience, and it's being attacked. All you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for allowing this again in my life. Cleanse me of all that I have done that is unrighteous before you. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Make me whole and healed from this unclean spirit. Deliver me. Satan, be gone. I will have nothing to do with you. You will not accuse me again. You will not cause me to believe a lie again. You will not allow, or I will not allow, fear from you to enter in again. I will not be angry and go to sleep with that anger in my soul and on my conscience. No, you're finished. Be gone and don't return. And Lord, thank you for forgiving me. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for me of the forgiveness of sin, washing me, cleansing me, making me whole, Now empower me one more time with your Holy Spirit. I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I do not want him turning away, incapable of working in my life right now. I want you, Holy Spirit, as a person, a third Trinity, person of the Trinity, I want you operating in my life. I want you to guide me and direct my path. I want to be empowered again by you to cast out devils and help others. I will not entertain sin. When you cast out devils, it will not be by any other means but by the power of the living God, brought forth from the power of God's kingdom, which is within the knowledgeable believer. Knowledgeable believer is important to know, because scriptures tell us in Hosea that my people perish from a lack of knowledge. We don't want to perish. We want to continue on with such glorious work that we have been called to, and most of man have not ever accomplished nowhere near the glorious work that we have been called to on this earth. That was meant from the very beginning, from humanity, for mankind. We are washing ourselves with mar. We are in polluted waters as a world. We have no idea how wonderful life could really be. Power of a great life is granted to us by his kingdom being established within us. It's God's almighty power, his might, and it's his finger, not yours, that the casting out of demons will happen. All he needs is to be able to use you, and that you are prepared and ready for this usage. John 15:5, it says, for apart from me, you could do nothing. We don't want to be among those that are really doing nothing. We want to be used. We want to be in this wonderful army of God. We want to be among the elect and the overcomers. We want to be the bride of Christ. Many people don't understand what that actually means, but he is meeting us as he becomes one with us, is symbolic in its meaning. Luke 11:21-22 says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. Okay? But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. We are to wear the armor of God. It is spoken of in Scripture. We are to put on the armor of God. But in Luke 11:21, the strong man in this, the power of Satan. The stronger man in verse 22 is the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus has overcome Satan and taken all of Satan's armor from him and put it on you. We now wear armor, but we have to understand that armor as involved in the work of God. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you would, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow. No, we won't. Not till Monday. Tomorrow is Sabbath, and I'm going to enjoy every moment of it. It's been a very busy time. But I am so grateful that we have been able to have conversations on the airwaves through the internet. We are blessed. And we have grown immensely in getting those who have been listening all over the world. We are in some high numbers right now, and I am thankful for it. I'm thankful for everything or his church right now. So please, if you're interested in getting my book, go to Amazon. It's there, and you can just type in Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and together as a people, we're going to rise up into the most magnificent army this world has ever had. But we need wisdom, we need knowledge, we need understanding of what this warfare is really all about. God bless you. Have a wonderful day until Monday.
That's correct. That is correct.